Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, I got cookies. I baked a little bit over the weekend. The bad news is my kids, I had both boys in town, and I have the grandson in town, my son Aiden, who's a teacher in Chicago, my son Evan from Houston. And I made cookies Friday night, Fred, and they just destroyed them. They're really good. So I got chocolate chip and the white chunk macadamia with cranberries are out there, too.
Yeah, they're really good. I have the regular chocolate chip.
Well, thank you, Fred. I appreciate that. Starting the week here, a little chilly. It wasn't too bad over the weekend. You guys get outside at all?
Today I did. Today it was supposed to be 47. It's supposed to be in the 50s tomorrow.
Yeah, right? Not a bad week.
I'm totally getting
I'm
out
loving
tomorrow.
It. Yeah.
That's a McDonald's. That should be McDonald's. Should use that.
I don't know.
That sounds like a great line for somebody. So one of my favorite stories, we'll get to Sue's news here in a moment, but one of my favorite stories of the weekend, and Fred, you'll have to tell me how much this is being covered because it was technically, I guess, a yesterday story. So yesterday, let me back up. 2 days ago, they send two plane loads of migrants, undocumented migrants. I can't call them illegals, right? We've been corrected by the anchor at MSNBC, to Colombia. They're not going to Missouri, right? They're going to the country, Colombia. Gustavo Petros is the president of Colombia. So Trump's like, hey, let's load them up, bring them down there. Worst of the worst. We don't want them here anymore. The president of Colombia says, nope, we don't want them.
Wait, at first they said yes.
No.
And
no,
then
no,
the plane
you're
took
reversing
off?
It.
Oh.
They said no. But then Trump got them to change their mind because he said, look, if you don't let these flights land, we're going to impose an immediate 25% tariff on all goods and double it to 50% in 1 week. He also said he was going to, you know, enforce a travel ban, visa sanctions, harsher inspections on cargo, and more on Colombians. Guess what happened? The dude changed his mind completely. I mean, if that doesn't scream, there is a new flipping sheriff in town. I don't know what does. Here's Senator Schmidt.
Reestablish law and order. And the first order of business is to get the people who are here, who, you know, especially the violent criminals, to get them out. And I think you saw when the Colombia president sort of pushed back on that. We can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. But one way or another, the American people have spoken on this, and we're going to deport people who are here who are legally.
Yeah. And then, you know, if this is coming up quite a bit, I guess, with the legacy media, let's say we're going after a violent criminal, but we bust into an apartment and we find people that are, you know, there that maybe didn't commit crimes, but they're here illegally. Well, you're not going to just let them off, right? There's going to be consequences for that as well. Here's Scott Jennings on CNN.
And, you know, it happened under Barack Obama, actually. He deported millions upon millions of people, and I don't have any recollection of the U.S. economy collapsing. And no Republican, and I don't think most Americans are taking seriously the argument that the U.S. economy is underpinned by violent, criminal, illegal immigrants. I mean, if our entire economy is underpinned by people who are rapists and murderers and commit other violent acts, then, you know, we got a whole other set of issues in the economy
that we ought to talk about today.
I mean, people.
Well, they're trying to push back, but you understand his point. That's what they keep mentioning, right? So it's the entire migrant economy and everything that we enjoy are lower vegetable prices, which aren't very low. That's because of people who are criminals. That's essentially what a lot of the left is saying.
People just aren't buying that argument. So the populations that they are starting with are violent, criminal, illegal aliens. Then they also have 1.5 million people who have existing, fully adjudicated orders. And beyond that, I would just point out that if you came to this country illegally, you're already a criminal, illegal immigrant. You've already broken our laws, even if you haven't been arrested yet or charged with it. If you're here illegally, if you broke our laws, then you're going to be targeted.
How is that hard? It's not that hard. It really is not that hard. So you got the guy who is the, I guess they don't call it a superintendent in Chicago. It's a CEO of public schools. So he says this.
We had individuals that came to one of our schools, Hamline Elementary School, that presented credentials and shared that they were from ICE. And so our staff followed the protocols. We're very clear. We've been training our principals, our security guards, any front office staff to make sure that they know that we are not to share any information with anybody from the Immigration Department or ICE.
So he claims that, you know, schools are being targeted. Tom Homan says, shut the F up. You're making this up.
Pedro Martinez lied. He lied to the city of Chicago because he knew it was Secret Service agents, because I talked to the people involved. They left their credentials. He knew exactly who were there, so he lied. Again, sowing fear in the immigrant community. And Governor Pritzker, you know, rather than calling ICE and asking us, did this happen or did it not happen, he goes on social media and terrifies the elementary schools that ICE agents are walking in there. No, he accuses me of terrifying the community. No, he terrified the community.
So that's a great point. So you understand what Tom is saying right there? Pritzker and all these idiots are saying, look, Trump's out there. You're scaring families, right? You're scaring children. They're terrified. No, it's actually you doing this, because look what you're doing. You're lying about this stuff.
By the children. You know what ICE did yesterday? They saved children. We arrested 9 sexual predators, many of them child sex predators. We saved children. ICE saved children. We're not going to schools and scaring the hell out of them. Governor Pritzker deserves, he needs to give ICE an apology. What he did was just plain wrong, and by doing that, he put fear in the community that shouldn't have to be there. Children shouldn't have to fear ICE agents walking into an elementary school to arrest them.
Yeah, and here's Pritzker.
We're going to stand in the way of an unconstitutional order. We'll also stand in the way of them breaking the law in Illinois if they're not following federal law. Now, we know that if they show up with warrants to take people away, that we're going to hand them over. But we also have a law in the books in Illinois that says that our local law enforcement will stand up for those law-abiding, undocumented people in our state.
How about stand up for the documented people for once in
Thank
your life?
You.
How about stand up for the people in Chicago who pay taxes and are here legally and are affected by crime? It's unbelievable, these politicians. And that guy thinks he's going to be president someday, right?
I know.
You know, maybe after Ozempic or something like that, but that is just stunning. It really is. But this is what they do. And I would say it's encouraging because they don't get it. We're a week in here. S is getting done. A lot of it. A lot of it is getting done. And they hate it that that's happening. But I'm enjoying the ride.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
S is getting done is my favorite line of the day.
One of these times I'm going to have to dump myself because I'm going to say something I'm not supposed to.
Well, here's what I had read this morning and why I said that, Mark. Apparently, Columbia first said, yeah, we'll take him. And then mid-flight, they said, nope, we're not going to.
Yeah.
And then they had to go back. And then that's when Trump said 25% tariff on everything. And the Colombian president said, I'll do that right back. Yeah. And then eventually caved.
How quickly was that? He's like, oh, okay.
Okay.
He even said he'd send him back on his own plane.
Yeah, presidential plane. He'd bring him back.
I don't think it's going to work. I think Mr. Trump has a fair amount of leverage right now.
I believe
in a lot
right.
of areas.
Well, at the age of 29, an American woman won the Australian Open. If it was such a football weekend, I thought I'd throw this in. Madison Keys beat Sabalenka, and Sabalenka is number one in the world. Keys was number 19. So go, America.
Yeah, you know, we talk tennis all the time. I watched quite a bit of the Australian Open when I was in Las Vegas because I had the time. But because of the time difference, it was kind of hard to catch some of the big matches.
It was. Right? And when we get to this time of year, it's easier to watch other tournaments. I'm just saying, just because the Australian Open is when the NFL playoffs generally are. Okay, on this day in history, 49 years ago in 1976, Happy Days spinoff Laverne and Shirley premiered.
Oh!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I didn't hit it properly.
Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hassan Beth Incorporated.
We're gonna do it.
Oh, I love it so much. Weren't we trying to tell young Ethan about this show
just last week?
Right.
Yeah, somehow we were talking about Happy Days. And then we asked him if he was familiar with Laverne and Shirley.
And he wasn't.
Now
which
he is.
A complete shock to me. Penny Marshall as Laverne. Let's not forget Lenny and Squiggy. They were all on that show.
Look at Mike McKeon has gone on to do amazing things in, you know, not only theater, but television and movies. I'm not sure about Squiggy. Whatever happened to Squiggy?
I'm not sure.
Lenny did
either.
Pretty well, though.
Lenny did fine.
And Al Molinaro.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Aw, I did like that show. And then, on this day in history, 41 years ago, I had forgotten about this, but in 1984, Michael Jackson suffered second and third degree burns when his hair caught fire while he was filming that Pepsi commercial. It was a pyrotechnics malfunction that caused it. They went off too early. It was in the sixth take. And Jackson did not sue Pepsi, but instead asked them to donate $1.5 million to Brotman Memorial Hospital Burn Center, which I don't think I had realized.
No, I don't think
Here's
I
part
either.
Of the campaign that was there. Remember that, 1984?
Well, and this was a huge, huge story at the time
enormous.
When this happened. Right. And I can't remember all the details of how close he was to really being badly hurt.
Second to third degree burns.
Yeah.
And he actually said that this is what got him deeper into painkillers, and he never quite got out of it. It's not great.
No, I didn't think about that, but that would make sense, unfortunately.
All right, I will switch topics here. A Connecticut state senator introduced a bill that would make theaters reveal the actual start time of a movie so audiences can avoid the ads and trailers. Okay. Connecticut State Senator Martin Looney calls this an abuse of people's time. Of course, this is how theaters survive, though, people.
Yeah.
It's with the ads.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine that's going anywhere. But anybody, we've all sat through a million going, why am I here? Why am I? Oh,
look,
wait, I'll get more popcorn.
It's very, very easy. It really is. And there does not need to be. I'm not a fan of legislation to solve all of the world's problems. But what's awesome in the modern era is you can reserve your seats. You know damn well that you don't have to get there for 10 or 15 minutes. And then if you don't want to see the trailers or the ads, you can walk in a few minutes late. You got your seat reserved. So really, there shouldn't be any concern about this. I get it, but show up 5 more minutes after the 7 o'clock showing. Go 7:10, you're fine.
Doesn't that just scream that he went to the movies recently and had to sit through? I mean, it just sounds like I'm bitter type of bill. How dare you make me sit there?
And unfortunately, as someone who, you know, reviewed movies and was a big fan of films for decades, I don't go to the actual theater that much anymore. But I'll tell you what bothers me more than that is people with their cell phones and talking.
Oh, that drives me nuts. There is a new poll out on pizza, and it found that the average American hasn't changed their pizza order in 2 years. I think it's longer than that. Fred, what's your pizza order?
I like Canadian bacon.
Oh, my gosh. That is disgusting. Well,
sorry.
I mean, what do you
like
get
sausage.
With it? Thank you, Mark.
Oh,
solidarity there with Sue on
pizza.
That one.
Yeah, yeah. You get Canadian bacon and sausage?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I like any meaty product.
He likes the meat lovers.
You don't know what? Oh, well, okay.
Does Maria order the pizzas,
I was going to say, thanks, Fred. That's what I'm trying to understand.
I like all kinds of different pizzas. Like, I like a chicken pizza sometimes.
Yeah, with a white sauce.
The only thing here's where I draw the line. Uh-huh. I'm just going to tell you. This might be something that is unpopular with somebody. Don't put pineapple on my pizza.
Thank you.
I don't want pineapple.
Thank you. Uh-huh, yeah. Thank you. Because you know who likes that is Kim St. Ange from the Mark Cox Morning Show.
No.
It's just not something we should have.
No, exactly.
Midwesterners have a reputation for being the least experimental with food. That's true for pizza. Of all 50 states, Michigan is the state least likely to spice up their pizza order. All right, here's mine. Bacon. I like, this is emo's though. Bacon,
well, that's
green pepper,
Canadian
mushroom.
Bacon though, isn't it?
Bacon. It's straight up bacon.
Oh, it's not Canadian.
Oh,
bacon.
No. It's like, let's eat it with your eggs. Bacon.
Okay,
can you
all
tell
right,
the difference?
You.
I mean, what's the difference?
Oh, yeah. Canadian bacon is like ham. It looks like ham.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, I like bacon. Yeah. Just
right.
bacon.
Yeah, normal bacon. Okay, well, Fred, we got
you guys have come together.
Eating.
Look what's happened here.
Oh, see? Like, unity.
I bring people
without
together.
Without a tariff.
Right, exactly.
We dealt with a Canadian issue.
I bring people together. Oh, my gosh. Okay. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact, but it's long, so I'm doing it here. Only one NFL player weighed over 300 pounds in 1970. By 2014, there were over 400 players in the NFL who weighed over 300 pounds. And today, it's closer to 500 now, which is more than 20% of the league. That's how many players weigh over 300 pounds in the NFL.
Man, look, remember Refrigerator Perry? I think that was one of the first ones.
I could criticize these guys for when that was, but let me tell you something. These guys are big and they're bulky and they're full of muscle. Right.
Nothing more entertaining to me. Well, first of all, quarterback who runs. I love that. But also, one of the big boys, when they do something, when they run and they're fast, or way bigger than you would, or way faster than you would imagine. I love it.
Yeah, I like it too.
And that's it for Sue's News.
All right. Thank you, Sue. I appreciate it. I think we've kind of come to an agreement on pizza where we can all share some together at some point. Hey, they're trying to jack your Ameren bill again. It's already sky high. We're going to talk to John Kaufman with the Consumers Council of Missouri coming up next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think it was before Christmas that I got a piece of literature, I will call it, in the mail from Ameren, and it talked about wanting a 15% rate increase. I'm like, oh, wait, what?
Jeez.
I don't think so. That seemed pretty high. So they're having hearings about this right now. There was one from last week that was, we had one here we're going to talk about in the St. Louis area, but there was one that was covered in our local paper from Jeff City last week, and they talked about this, and they said, I guess, the company claims, they handed out a flyer. I'm guessing they did this today, too. The company claims electric rates are approximately 27% lower than the Midwest average.
Oh, wow.
Hey, I like that. Good. Let's keep it that way. Let's not jack it up. They say the increase is going to only make it 15% lower than average. I like 27% lower than average, better than 15%. But look, this is getting, you know, I think a lot of us can absorb some of this stuff. But when you start to notice it, even in the socioeconomic areas where you can maybe absorb the increases, what the hell's happening to people who can't afford this, right?
Hey, and what's an average? Does that include places like California and or stuff way up north that's freezing cold?
They say the Midwest, but look, let's just put Illinois and Chicago into the mix.
Right.
If they're in the mix, that's going to throw things off anyway.
Yep.
Anyway, let's talk about this because John Kaufman is here. He's with the Consumers Council of Missouri. He's following all this. I think there was a public hearing in Sunset Hills today. Hey, John, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
Yes, thanks for having me on. They had one more public hearing this afternoon in Sunset Hills. I think it's just now wrapping up. It was packed crowd, just like the one in the city. And, people are hot, and they're just getting tired of these repeated increases. Just talking about the electric rates, they went up about 20% since the pandemic already, and that's just the basic increases. They've recently added another surcharge, a securitization surcharge related to the closure of a power plant. They also, then filed this 15% rate increase, and that's being heard sort of like a court case in front of the Public Service Commission, and that's what this these public hearings are about. If you missed the public hearings, you can also send in your comments directly to the Public Service Commission. You can go to our website and learn more about how to do that, Consumers Council of Missouri. But we think that actually a small increase is probably justified, but 15% is out of line. I think that you made a really good point. You know, just saying that we're below some average doesn't mean it has to go up. We believe that rate increases should be based on the actual cost of providing service to us, and some things here in Missouri are cheaper than elsewhere,
right.
And we would like to keep it that way. That doesn't really provide us any assurances. We have tens of thousands of people who've been disconnected from service every month. There's like 18,000 one month 15,000 the next. And I think the newspaper reported that there are currently about 170,000 customers of Ameren. That's households, 170,000 households who are behind on their bill right now. And what that tells you, which is increasing now over time, it shows you that there are a lot of people that can't afford their utilities. And the more, it's like 10% here, 15% here, the more you push up the cost of these basic necessities, the more people you're going to push out of their homes, and the more people that you are going to kind of, push into the point where they can't afford their monthly expenses.
John Coffin is here with the Consumers Council of Missouri. It's funny, the Public Service Commission, the rate increase thing, I remember, Sue, covering this when I was like a cub reporter in Columbia, Missouri, decades ago. And one of the things I remember, John, and you'll have to kind of weigh in on this, is that they have to, by law, they're required to hold these public hearings. But how often does the Public Service Commission, and I don't know how many people are on that now, I think it used to be three, so you could tell me, how often do they actually deny the rate increases? My guess is not very often.
Well, I would say it depends. I mean, there are even times when costs are going down. So there actually have been some rate reductions. It doesn't always go up. And they almost never get exactly what they ask for. They sometimes, they might ask for, 20% and get 10% or ask for 10% and get 5%. But lately they've been getting more and more of what they ask for. And it is feeling like it's a little bit overwhelming, because not only do they ask for rate increases at the Public Service Commission, they go to the state legislature in Jefferson City and ask for increases through legislation. So on top,
this is a good point. So I want you to talk about something like planting servicing accounting. Is that an example at PISA that adds 10% to your electric bill?
Yes. That's a very unique Missouri thing. I think only Missouri and Kansas have that. And what that does is that just kind of increases the cost of that are already made. So I think this is interesting to think about, because people obviously they want reliable service. We want safe and adequate service, but we don't want to have to pay more for it. And the dispute, for instance, between the people that think that the rate increase should maybe only be 8% or 10%, the difference between that and the 15% rate increase is not more facilities. It's not more reliable service. The only difference between those numbers is how much more profit the utility gets off of it.
So that's where the PSC should step in and say, wait a second here, especially, in tougher economic times. But you're not only, this is interesting because I'm focusing on Ameren because I got that piece of literature, but your group, Consumers Council of Missouri, I guess, Sue, listen, Spire wants 18-20%, and gas rates have gone up anywhere from 60-109%. You have Missouri American Water wants a 41% annual increase.
Me?
Is that true?
Yes. That's true. That's absolutely true. That case is pending. The Spire natural gas case just got filed, so we haven't had a chance to even dig into that. But yeah, that's another 20%. And here's the thing that people need to focus on. This is inflation. This is these are monopolies. They're either government monopolies or they are government sanctioned monopolies that are run by private companies. Ameren and Spire and American Water Works, they're private companies, but the government sets their profit. And so the reason that your utility bills are as high as they are based on decisions that politicians make. And so this is one place where your basic necessities, your basic cost of living is set by the government. And people, your interaction with your elected representatives and with other folks in government can make a difference here. There is discretion about how much to how much profit these utilities should take from this.
Yeah. And let me give you guys a compliment here, because for those people, we have a very educated audience. We have an audience that does get involved in these things. They may when it be prompted or inspired to call their lawmakers and weigh in on this. But you have some great information up on your website at the Consumers Council of Missouri when you compare some of the Ameren and Spire rate increases in particular and show what they were several years ago, what they went to. And I think it's very helpful to the people to kind of do a little late night reading on some of the stuff to educate themselves. It's not too difficult.
Right. And the thing I'd like to emphasize is that it's not just at the public, the Public Service Commission is sort of like a court, and they look at the evidence and everything has to be on the record and scrutinized, and that's good. But the the utilities also go to the legislature and they get them to change the rules so that the things that they do make them more money. And, you know, I understand why they do that, but it's really getting to be a little bit too much. So we've had now several years where, you know, we had inflation a few years ago, but these utility increases are going up much faster than inflation. They're going faster than wage growth. They're going up higher than other things. And the thing about the utilities is that every other business has to pay those. And so when you increase the cost of every other business doing business, then they raise their prices. And so to the extent that these utility rates are going up higher than inflation, they are causing inflation everywhere.
Oh, my gosh.
And just about everybody pays a utility bill. So this is a really important, fundamental thing we should focus on. I know people focus on taxation and they focus on a lot of other business expenses, but these utility bills are one of the most important things and one of the things that really fluctuate depending on how these decision makers down.
Well, and you have choices on some of these other products. You don't have to buy everything with high sales taxes, et cetera. And this, you kind of warm your house and, you know, you need water.
Right. Right. John, I have a question. Right. I mean, in what world would 40% for American Water or whatever that was, how in the world would 40% make sense on any level? I mean, 18 is
good
enough,
question.
But 40% is absolutely outrageous.
Right. They are very aggressive. This current Missouri American Water case is, I guess that's the best way I could describe it. They are asking for everything. They're asking for every special treatment under the book. One thing that they wanted in this water case was they wanted to be able to estimate their expenses into collecting future, sort of a future test year, they call it. The Public Service Commission said that they couldn't do that. So the first piece of legislation being given a hearing in the new state General Assembly was a bill that would allow all the utilities to use kind of future projected cost instead of their actual cost in calculating rate. So we're having to litigate this case with Ameren, you know, based on the evidence. But then on top of it, we have legislation, and it's like the first thing out of the gate, the first thing that gets a hearing this year in the Missouri State Senate is this future test year legislation.
Well, that's ridiculous. Okay, now I get it. But how can you get away with saying this is what we think it will be in the future? That is outrageous.
Yeah, they're going to try.
Their argument is, well, costs are going to go up in the future, and so why not set the rates based on what the costs will be in the future? The problem with that is that it's not based on something that's easy to audit. When you have actual results from historical, like the cost they had the year before,
right?
We can audit it, and there's accountability, and there's verification, and with projecting costs, it's just going to be higher. They're going to have higher bills.
What's the timetable here for the PSC making some of these decisions? Like even just on the Ameren front, is that going to come soon?
Yes,
or not?
The Ameren case. There will be a trial type hearing coming up in March, and then a decision will be made sometime in the summer. We don't know. There could be some resolution of it beforehand, but probably there will be a trial type hearing in Jefferson City in March. And, rates could go up as much as 15%. We're going to be fighting to make sure that it's not any higher than it needs to be.
John, guide people into the website if they want to check some of this stuff out.
Yeah, there is. There's a place there to look at all the stuff we've been talking about. Consumers Council of Missouri. It's moconsumers.org is the site.
Thank you, John. Keep us posted, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks
appreciate
for having me on.
It. In there, on the website, we printed some of this out. You can look at some of these charts here. And on the this is on Spire, not Ameren, but they sort of compare and contrast here. So if you had in 2021 a residential water bill in a larger home of $107, now it would be $230. That's pretty significant.
Oh, good grief.
In a medium home, maybe at $91, this is for, you know, gas and water, heating and cooking, 189. So basically, these are doubling plus, right? Jeez. It's 109% increase. Electric space heating, like in a low, you know, small home or someone that doesn't even have a furnace, it was $43, now it's $71. So the numbers have gone, and that's just for 23 and 24. So they're talking about 25, 26, 27. These numbers are going to go up even more.
And if Ameren does it, Spire does it, and the water company does it, I mean,
Triple whammy.
Is a ton of money.
The best thing that I think that John Kaufman said is, think about this. We always, and we're going to do it on this show probably, we always talk about tax increases and what's going to happen. Well, this is essentially having more of an impact on people and how much money they have left than, you know, maybe even some of those tax increases. So it's good to stay tuned in. Hopefully they don't get exactly what they're asking for, because that's the only saving grace we might have. Frank Cusimano coming up next. What a game yesterday. Here's Mitch Holthus with the final call on the Chiefs Radio Network.
Again, going to a knee. You can't doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs being the first team in National Football League history to win back-to-back Super Bowls and go to the Super Bowl for a chance for a three-peat.
Oh, I love Mitch. He's so good. And then we had audio today. This is the collective rest of the NFL fans that don't like the fact that the refs made some calls that they weren't a fan of yesterday. Frank Cusimano with us. Boy, the hatred factor for the Chiefs is going up, isn't it, Frank?
Well, you shouldn't have to get every questionable call with that team, okay? It's every freaking call the Kansas City Chiefs get. I just want to say that. Every call.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Yeah.
Please. It's not now, every. It's said, easy to say every call, but there are a couple that went against the Chiefs yesterday, too. So I get it. It looks like, but what? The grand conspiracy model doesn't work for me. That's what I would say.
No. And the bottom line is, like, Josh Allen wasn't as razor sharp as he should have been at the beginning of the game. Sean McDermott is not as good a coach as Andy Reid. And Patrick Mahomes has a chance to be the GOAT. You know, you got the best coach. You may have the best coach of all time, and you may have the best quarterback of all time.
Look, I admitted at the beginning of the show that I feel bad for Josh Allen. You know, he's sitting on that side, you can see the look on his face, like, what the hell do I need to do to get to a Super Bowl? You know, as good as he is, as good as the Bills have been. So I have empathy there. I really do.
That's why the Mahomes-Jordan comparison is really good. Not just because of the unique skill set, but because of what you just brought up. What Michael Jordan did to Patrick Ewing, to Charles Barkley, and to Karl Malone to make them ringless for their career is what Mahomes may end up doing to Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and I think that I saw someone on the post game making that point yesterday. Look, it's hard maybe if you're a fan of one of these other teams to look at it this way, but Nate Burleson even said, look, you're watching history here. You're going to tell these stories to your kids and your grandkids when you're older.
Yeah, yep. He's going to keep these guys from ever getting that ring. I mean, when he retires, maybe, okay, it's your chance to win, Josh, but the problem is they're both about the same age. I mean, think about it. He's 29 years old. He's 29. And he has a chance to win his fourth Super Bowl.
Yeah, it really is.
This reminds me of? It's like a horse that would run against Secretariat. There was that other one, Sham, who was out at the same time, and it was supposed to be a great horse, but never could win because Secretariat was just so
that
great.
That much better.
Yeah,
right.
And that's kind of what this is.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, well, look forward to the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously the Eagles took care of business. Not going to be easy for the Chiefs. I think they're an early, point and a half favorite in this game in a couple of weeks.
Can I say one thing about this game? And I know that it would be preposterous, like I've been saying for 3 weeks, to ever bet against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. But the best two players, the two best guards in football may wear Philadelphia Eagles uniform. They also have an unbelievable tackle. And they also have the best running back in football. There's a scenario where they can run the ball. And I don't care how brilliant Steve Spagnuolo is with his exotic blitzes. By the way, real quickly, I hate the word exotic in blitzes.
Exotic is
Sophia Loren in negligee or a Ferrari. It's not an extra guy going to the quarterback. So screw that word exotic in describing blitzes. Okay, but there's a scenario where the Eagles can pound the ball on the Chiefs because Howie Roseman is the best GM in football, and he has stocked that team with unbelievable offensive linemen.
Look, if I'm the Eagles and I watched the end of that game and even most of that game, yeah, they couldn't stop the run. They just couldn't stop it yesterday, so that's going to be problematic. And Saquon, how about that? Let's just focus on the first play of the Eagles' possession after an 11-minute drive, and the Commanders looking like maybe they can, you know, do something in this game, and Saquon busts out for a 60-yard-plus touchdown on the first play. That's incredible.
Yeah, the very first play of the game, 60 yards. He's just been a monster all year. And in the postseason, he has not let up on the gas pedal. They can run the ball against everybody. They really can.
Frank, pretty good. I watched Mizzou on Saturday. That was a good victory. And you got a lot of teams that weren't successful in the top 20. Obviously, they lost to Texas last week. I didn't see the new rankings. Did they kind of hold steady in the 20th, 22nd range or not?
You know what? I have not looked yet myself. But I know, like, in the net rankings today, they were 23, which is even more important than the AP top 25. Yeah, that's a nice win. They're going to have the week off before they play Mississippi State. But what I really loved about that game is you're starting to get, like, a big two. It's Tamar Bates and Caleb Grill. I think Caleb Grill, with all due respect to Kim English and Kareem Rush, I think he's the best pure shooter since John Sumbull. He's shooting 48 from three and 53 from two. He's unbelievable. He's just gold when he gets an open look.
Look, I never thought of it in those terms, but I don't know that I would challenge you. I'd have to think back to some other sweet shooters in the 90s in particular, maybe Melvin Booker or something like that. But, man, it's incredible what he's doing.
Yeah, he's not as good a player as these guys, but in terms of being a pure shooter, when his shoulders are squared, when he gets an open look, he's just unbelievable. He really is.
Looks like Mizzou moved up in the AP poll from number 22 to number 20, and I could probably search the coaches' poll as well. Blue's not doing very well the last couple of games.
No, and you know, Tony La Russa used to say, when a coach says, well, there's nothing more I can do, then that coach is fired. So Jim Montgomery, after the game, said, hey, we have got to change some things. Now, we're not exactly sure what he's going to do, but they got a big game tonight against Vancouver, who's in that ninth spot. It's not only the Blues trying to catch Calgary, they got to catch Vancouver. They're in 10th place. Hey, look, Mark, they've played 50 games, okay? They have 50 points. That's an 82-point pace in 82 games, okay? It's not real hard to figure out. You don't make the playoffs with 82 points. They got to get microwave hot here very shortly.
All right, Frank, well, let's have a good week. We'll see where we are with the Blues at the end of the week. And so does Mizzou have no games this week? Is that what you're saying? They get a little time off?
Not until Saturday.
Okay,
yep.
I like that. Yep. I do like that. All right, Cusimano, thank you so much. Happy Monday to you.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care.
We're coming back. John Seiler, who's been great on some of this DEI stuff, wrote a great piece in the Wall Street Journal this morning that I want to kind of shed some light on. Plus, Ian Scher, what's up with the new Chinese app DeepSeek? That's coming up, too.
Get more at 971talk.com.